Lazarus. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, or can those from there pass to us? Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded through one rise from the dead. You may be seated.
This is a big week for us. We have Trunk or Treat this evening and chili supper and all kinds of things going on with that. And so we encourage all of our families and all of our adults and children to be here this evening. You have a role to play. It may be helping serve the chili. It may be serving, if you can, in passing out candy. It may be helping in all kinds of ways, clean up and things. But we have a lot of activities going on, and you need to be inviting others. We hope to have a good number from our community come as well. And so it begins at 5. The focus of the lesson will be for our children, and then after that we will have a costume parade and then trunk or treat, and then we'll eat chili together afterwards. We also did decide to go ahead and rent the bouncy house that we had scheduled for Thursday, and so that will also be going on as well. So a lot of things. And then Saturday is giveaway day, and we have this annual event, which is a ministry to our community and to those who are in need. And we want you to know that we need your help and participation. We want to get started early on Saturday morning, and Ronnie said that we need everyone here hopefully by 8 o'clock and come and be ready to work. And we have lots of jobs that need to be done. Also, on Thursday evening is going to be our work night. And so, big week for us here at Seven Oaks. The passage that was just read, Luke chapter 16, is going to be the basis of this lesson. This is going to be a first-person narrative lesson, like I've done before, where I speak as if I am representing the person. This lesson was given to me by Kim Wilson, who received it from the Truth for Today publication, and it was written in that publication, and so I'm using most of that. I do this originally, and there is a real good article that I'd be glad to give you if you would like to use this further. But what would the rich man say to us of Luke 16? Passage that Ronnie just read, what would he say if he could communicate to us today in 2013? Obviously, he wasn't allowed to communicate with his brothers, but let's just suppose that now he was given an opportunity by God to communicate with us. What would he say to us? We're going to imagine as if he was able to send us a letter, if you will, from Hades, a letter, as we'll say here, from hell. And so I want to share with you that letter that he possibly would write to us today. And basically everything in this is coming from this passage of Luke 16, though I'm not going to be referencing it directly. It's coming from Luke 16 or from other gospel accounts. And so I believe if I open up this letter, it would say something like this. I want to tell you what I've learned from my experiences here. And I've learned them too late, so I'm depending upon you to get the message out to people in your world today. And I have several things that I want to emphasize that I think you need to be paying attention to as you go about your life. Because I know what it was like to go about my life and to live in the moment and to be consumed with the luxuries of my day and to not give thought to my soul. And I know, as I look back on my life, how quickly it went and how long eternity is. And so first I would say to you, use your life for God. Every life has a purpose, and that purpose is to serve and glorify God. I did not learn this while I was alive. The fault, you see, was not what I did not do. Excuse me, it wasn't what I did, but it was what I did not do. You see, I was really a good Jewish man. I was one who was concerned about paying tithes and going to the temple service and things, but I was not devoted to God. You see, I really didn't use my life for God. It was just more of something I did because of my cultural heritage and because I was born that way. That's why I did it, because everybody expected me to do those things. And so I was really a Jew because of social standards and because of birth. I really wasn't one who was devoted to God. God occupied so little of my thinking, and I wasn't devoted to Him. What I want you to know is, use your life for God. That you're here for a purpose, and you're here for a reason, and that life is not just about things, and that's what I want to lead into saying next. You see, when I was in this life, I had been deceived by things. You see, I was a rich man. I wore nice purple clothes that was the luxury of the day, the latest fashions, and what made others know I was rich. And I fared sumptuously. That is, I had plenty on my table. And I ate the finest foods. In my day, people didn't get to eat meat and things of that of a very nice delicacy very often. But I had meat, and I had some of the best vegetables, and I had those things on my table daily. Oh, I was rich. But I realize now that I had been deceived by things. You see, things were too important to me. And I think the reason was is I've had centuries and millenniums to reflect upon this, is that I could see the things. And I got consumed with what the world thought of things. And so I wanted to have it all in the eyes of man. And I wanted to have what I could see because that gave me happiness at the time. And I also took the abundance of God of things as proof of God's favor. I was surrounded by wealth and honored by man, and I never considered that God may not be pleased with my life. I forgot that God looks upon the heart. When I think back about all my feast and the purple clothes and all the things I had and the bright, fancy palace I had, I realize that they are really a very poor trade for living righteously before God. And I want you to know, as I am told from those who have arrived here, that your country and your world today is consumed with possessions and things, and that you're still, like we were, deceived by things because you can see those and you get wrapped up in them and you neglect the spiritual area of life, the things of life that you cannot see. The soul, prayer, God. And so you look with your physical eyes all the time and you neglect to put on spiritual glasses. So I'm saying to you, don't be so tied up in your lifestyle and your possessions that you neglect God. Such a lifestyle is not worth the cost. The first moment in this place is an amazing impact upon one's sense of values. And what you value in eternity is so different than what you valued in this world, in this earthly world. Number three, I would say, use your opportunities for good. What a person should do is look for opportunities to serve and not always to be served. You see, I had servants and I had this focus on how I was to be served. And I had many opportunities looking back, and I realized that each opportunity was a test of what was really important to me. Consider the beggar named Lazarus. I didn't really think anything about Lazarus. I mean, beggars were a dime a dozen. I mean, you should say a dime a drachma, to reuse our money in Palestine. They were everywhere. And I didn't think about Lazarus, who was laid at my gate. But as I reflect upon that now, he was laid at my gate, which gave me some responsibility for him. And all he wanted and all his desire was for just the crumbs that fell from my table. And I fed those crumbs to animals and never reflected or thought about Lazarus who lay at my gate. In fact, he was a minor nuisance to me. As I would walk by each day to my gate and as he begged, I thought it made my place look bad. And it drove me crazy that he was always there. You see, Lazarus got to be a fixture at my gate. And I would have had many excuses at why I would not help this poor man. But I failed to see two things. Number one, I failed to see that beneath the filth and the begging and the lying at my gate, there was a man. And he was a human being. And when I refused to recognize him as a man, as a human, really I said something about my own humanness and the dignity of man. And being late at my gate meant that he was my test. And so I'm telling you that you cannot take care of all the poor. You can't meet every opportunity that is your way. But don't use excuses for helping one to keep you from doing good. You see, it's not necessary to live a life of evil to be lost. It is just necessary to live a life of no active good, a life of selfishness, a life that doesn't consider others, a life that is consumed with what you have received and does not consider being grateful in giving to others. And then next I would say, and I want to talk about this one just a little longer. I would say that hell is a terrible, terrible place. I'm going to use the term hell today for simplicity, but I'm actually talking about and living in the Hadean world. And I know this is often confusing to you, but the idea of the realm of Hades is simply, it is the place of departed spirits. It's the place of the dead. Hades is where souls are found. In actual practice, it seems to be a little different than our future abode, though it's not yet the final state of hell. But yet I want you to know that in the Hadean world, I have experienced intense pain and sorrow. And the Bible describes this place in graphic terms. And Jesus spoke so often about hell. And I found this place to be just like he described and very similar. I want to just remind you that it is a place of torment. Words cannot describe my anguish and my pain. Fire is used in Scripture to describe this place. But it's not just an outward burn, but it's also that inward burn. Yet you're never consumed. It's a constant pain. in a constant agony. Even thinking to write these words and share these things with you is difficult. And I just wish that I could have a drop of cool water. I remember asking Abraham just for a drop of cool water. When I was in this world that you're living in, I had abundance of water and I drank wine and all kinds of other drinks. All that I wanted. And now all I want is one drop from a fingertip. It's a place of torment. But that's not all. It's also a place of memory. Worse than being a place of torment, it is also a place of memory. It seems to me that when the mind is released from the body, it allows it a greater capacity for understanding. I was able to recognize Abraham, for example, and in this horrid condition, this is an awful thing about the land of the doomed. And I was able to remember my old life and things that happened while I was on earth. I remember walking by Lazarus each day. I remember those fine meals. I remember not thinking about God and being concerned with my bank accounts and my status in this community and in society. I remember those things. I remember when Abraham said to me, "Child, remember that in your lifetime you received good things. Lazarus, in a like manner, bad things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented." I've heard that in your world that they have rockets that if they have the slightest deviation will miss their target. When I think back about my life, I realize that it wasn't just the big choices I made that made me miss my target of God. But it was often the many small decisions I made of living independent and selfish of God that ended up in a life filled with selfishness that led me to this eternal doom. You see, ironically, if you do not heed this message I'm giving you today, you will remember that I warned you. And you will remember that you had opportunity to change and that you did not do it. But it's also a place of permanence. If there was hope for relief of our circumstances, then it might be bearable. But there is no hope. I've been here for 2,000 years and I will continue to be here forever and ever. How terrible is it to hear the words of Abraham when he said to me when I was asking him that there is a great chasm, a great gulf fixed, that those who are righteous cannot come here and those who are wicked cannot go to the land of the righteous. Hell is not an annihilation, as some claim, but it is forever and ever. As you think about this place, and the terrible anguish and torment that it is, it is now then the time to be concerned. Concerned about others. When death comes, ready or not, life is over. There are no second chances. The New Testament says we are appointed unto men to die once, and after this, the judgment. I had 5 brothers. And when I came here to this place, my thought was simply upon them because I knew they did not consider their souls just like I did not consider my soul. And I loved my brothers and I begged and I pleaded for an opportunity to return and warn them because I knew they were living like me. And I want you to know that those who are special to you, tell them about Jesus. The hurting, the poor, the suffering of your world, the Lazaruses of your world, love them and care for them and minister to them because those people are to be like Jesus unto you. When you do it unto them, you're doing it to Jesus. And so consider others. Don't look upon the status of others. Don't look at the money of others. Look upon the soul of others. You do not have a body with a soul. You have a soul with a body. Your body's going to die at any point, but your soul is going to live for eternity. I had 5 brothers, and I begged to send them a message to them. But Abraham said that it wasn't my place, and it wasn't the place of the dead to do that. But he said that my brothers have the scriptures. In the Old Testament, he said they have the Moses and the prophets. For you, it means you have Jesus, the Gospels, and the New Testament. You have the Bible. The Bible is your message. The Bible is God's word to you. It is the map to make it to heaven. It is God's word written to you that is to be written upon your heart. Yet I remember how it was with me. I would go to temple services and I would hear the Old Testament read and I would think, oh yeah, I've heard that before. I would think it's too much trouble to read the Bible. I've got to be concerned about the urgent matters of my business and my work. And so I neglected talking to God in prayer and I neglected listening to God through Scripture. But when I heard Abraham say they have Moses and the prophets, I finally realized how important the Word of God is. In the end, the Word of God will be your judge. It will be the standard of judgment. Love the Word of God and base your life upon the Word of God. Love others and love His Word. And then you need to be concerned about yourself. You see, everyone here cries for relief. Yet relief after death can only be obtained before death. The gospel of Jesus Christ is for you. To believe in Jesus, repent of your sins, confess Christ, and be buried with Him in baptism. When I tried to get to my brothers, Abraham emphasized that they have the Word of God. And you still have the Word of God 2,000 years later. You have it. Obey it. Don't listen to what man says. Don't listen to what anybody else says. Listen to what the Bible says. I don't want you to come here. And those who are here do not want you to come here. They want you to be saved by the power of Jesus Christ. I'm signing this letter. Farewell forever. I hope the rich man from Luke 16. If you need to respond publicly, don't miss this opportunity. You never know if you'll have another opportunity. Luke 16, we get lost many times in the questions we don't know about it. But what we do know about it should cause us to be sober and get our life right with God. Because the letter from a rich man would urge us to not come to where he is. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, come as together we stand and sing.
Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go, Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on thee I'll call. Almost persuaded, come today. Almost persuaded, turn not away. invites you here. Angels are lingering near. Prayers rise from hearts so dear. Oh, wanderer, come. Almost persuaded.